glory to God. High fives. Woo. Hallelujah. We are ready to roll. Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are just rejoicing and we're glad in Him. He is good. He's got some great things in store for us. And so, starting a new message, I think it's just for a couple weeks, and then we've got our Christmas message and the New Year's Eve message. So, as I was praying, it was just a matter of the Lord had brought this scripture to mind. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you. He will give you the desires of your heart. So the title of my message this morning is The Desires of Your Heart. The desires of your heart. We all have desires. You know, and even as we're rolling into the end of a year and about to step over into a new year, the desires of our heart. Hallelujah. The desires of our heart. What do we desire? What do we want? What are we reaching for? The desires of our heart. And then the question will be how do we get them? Right? Because we all have desires, and it seems like the longer we go on in life, it seems like sometimes the desires, it's been such a long time that we just kind of let some of them drop, and they seem to get covered up with life and other things, and some of them we accomplish, and so it's interesting. Then the question will be how do we get those desires? How do we accomplish those desires? If the Lord gives us the desires of our heart, how is it that we get them? How do we reach them? And then sometimes there's a thing called competing desires. Competing desires, right? Someone wants to lose 15 pounds, but they also want to have seconds and thirds, right? We want more turkey and more stuffing, and we need more mashed potatoes with gravy, and we don't want just have one piece of pie. We've got to have two pieces of pie and the cookies and the competing desires. Which desire wins? Which desire comes out in the end on top? We desire to make $100,000 a year, but are we interested? Is our desire to put in the effort and the work, the thought, the ideas, the planning, the action to get there? Or just we end up with 50,000 and it's just like, well, that's I guess where it is. I mean, that's all we were wanting to give. Remember Chip Brim talked about his high school students where they had their championship rings, and so some of their friends in the mall would say, "Wow, I want a ring like that," you know, and they said, "Well, come to our school and, you know, join the team," and they said no. They desired the ring. They said no. Why? Because we know how hard you work. They made that dedication after they lost that first season. They came second place in the state. They made the dedication, work us harder. We will practice before school. We will practice after the school. You make us run twice as many lines. Work us hard. So when we get to the last game, we are not running on 2 cylinders out of 8. You work us harder than we worked before, so we are still able to give it our best and our most, and we can outrun and we can outlast anybody. And they said, we didn't want that. We want the ring, but we don't want the effort. Right? Huh. So, competing desires. So sometimes it's not just a matter of this is what we desire, because, you know, sometimes you hear people talk about their desires. What do you want? What do you want? This is what we want. This is what we want. And if we just step back and watch for a while and just let, you know, how badly do you want it? Or how goodly do you want it? You know, how much do you want it? Our desires. How much do we want what we say we desire, what we want? Because, you know, because I don't know about you, there are some desires that just change. Well, that was just the desire for that year. Because the next year, something changed. Right? You know, I desire that kind of car. Well, you know, after a few years, that kind of car isn't really not that exciting anymore. There's another car. I want a different car. You know, and so it's just the things change. So it's interesting. God said that as we delight ourselves in the Lord, that He will give us the desires of our heart. Now, we may be living a life that is fulfilled or frustrated, or we could say it's a combination of both. We're fulfilled in some areas and frustrated in some other areas. Why? Because our desires, and desires, it seems like the moment we have a desire is not necessarily the same moment that we experience what we desire. Sometimes there's this process of time. This desire comes, and then there's action that needs to be happened or something that needs to take place, and then we experience and receive or have what we desire. So that's just kind of throwing some things out there for us to catch on and go, yeah. Let's get into the message, because I want to experience and fulfill and have more of my desires accomplished. Now, I want to focus on one word today, and then next week we're going to focus on another word. The word today is the word delight. Because if you notice in this verse, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. There's only one portion of this scripture that has to do with us. Right? The Bible doesn't say God will delight ourselves in Him. No, it says that we are to delight ourselves in Him. And He will give us the desires of our heart. So our portion, our assignment in this verse, our purpose, our job in this verse, just throw it out different words, what we're supposed to be doing, right? Our responsibility in this verse is to delight ourselves in the Lord. So the word delight here, this word in the Hebrew, this word delight, means to be soft or pliable. To be soft or pliable, it means to delight. To delight ourselves. It means to live softly and delicately. It means to delight oneself. And it means to be glad in a thing. To be glad in a thing. To be soft or pliable, to delight ourselves, or to live softly and delicately, to delight oneself, and to be glad in a thing. In other words, we are to be soft and pliable. Soft and pliable. You know what that means? I mean, that's like Play-Doh in the beginning. Not Play-Doh after it's old. Right? Play-Doh after it's old is kind of hard. There's not much softness to it. And when it's old enough, it's just, you either keep it as that statue, whatever it was, or if it's just a blob, you just throw it away. But this is, to delight ourselves in the Lord, is to be soft and pliable in His hands. Someone where we can be molded. We are aware of Him, right? To live softly and delicately. It means He doesn't have to yell at us. He doesn't have to smack us to wake us up and go, what? No, when he speaks, He can just speak gently. We're soft and pliable. We're living softly and delicately. We can hear Him. We're aware of Him. Amen? We're aware of Him. And that's one of the key things about the fear of the Lord. Again, in the Hebrew word, the fear of the Lord, it can also be translated to see. That means we're watching Him, we're looking at Him, we are aware of Him. When He moves, we move. All right, the Bible talked about in the Old Testament, when the cloud lifted and moved, everyone packed up and they moved with the cloud. When the cloud stopped, the cloud by day and the fire by night, when it stopped, they stopped. All right, it wasn't like, yeah, I don't feel like going anywhere today, and I'll catch up. No, when the cloud moved, they moved. And when it stopped, they stopped. It wasn't like, I don't feel like stopping. I'm in a roll now. So Lord, you know, just catch up to me when you're ready. No. This is soft and pliable. Living softly and delicately. Hallelujah. And then talking about Audrey and training horses. And I remember hearing even the phrase about being rein trained, where the rein, you just touch the neck and the horse recognizes. And the rider biomechanics, when just a matter of where your weight is and you're shifting and applying pressure with your leg to one side or the other side of the horse, and just where the horse feels your slightest movement and responds. So this is the way we are to be with the Lord, soft and pliable, living softly and delicately. He doesn't have to be rough with us because, well, I don't get it. No, we're learning to listen, to hear. We're learning to yield to Him. Delight ourselves in the Lord. That's what this word delight means. It means also to be glad in a thing. We're to be glad in Him. Right? Glad in Him. So part of being glad in Him is that we're just aware. We enjoy Him. Hallelujah. We're soft and pliable and we're glad. And He says, let's go this way. And we go, yeah, okay. I don't know what's over there, but yeah, okay. Right? It's not a matter of step through this door. And we go, well, it's on the other side of the door. He won't say anything because our responsibility is to be willing and obedient. Willing, soft, and pliable, to delight ourselves in the Lord. Go, yeah, okay, all right, here we go. Delight ourselves in the Lord. So we are to be soft and pliable in the Lord's hands, aware of Him, and sensitive to Him, not touchy, right? There's a difference between sensitive and touchy. Sometimes people consider the same thing. Sensitive is not touchy. Touchy is a negative thing. Touchy is when people get offended because they are overly sensitive and they all get offended by anything that's said. But sensitive and touchy are not the same thing. Sensitive is we're sensitive, right? We're thinking about others. We're thinking about others. Sensitive to others. Hallelujah. Sensitive. We are to delight or be glad in the Lord. We are to be excited about Him, to delight ourselves in the Lord. In other words, when we rejoice and we praise Him, see, He excites us. He says, delight ourselves in the Lord. What does that mean? That means, Lord, You excite us. You excite me. You thrill me. I want to spend time with You. I enjoy Your presence. I enjoy You. I enjoy You. You are wonderful. And I praise You and I glorify You and I worship You and I thank You for what You said. And we just enjoy Him. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we are also, we delight ourselves in the Lord, but we are also to delight ourselves in His Word. So when we're excited about Him, we're also talking about being excited about what He has said, excited about His Word. So part of delighting ourselves in the Lord is to delight ourselves in His Word. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. So just the beginning of the Psalms here, Psalm chapter 1. Says, blessed is the man or the woman, the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But our delight, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. What do? We delight in the law of the Lord. And in His law, we meditate day and night. So we delight and meditate in His Word. Right? Can you see that? We delight and meditate in His Word. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and we delight and meditate in His Word. Now, this is a different Hebrew word, delight. Okay? And this word, delight, means this. It means pleasure. It means desire a valuable thing. To desire a valuable thing. In other words, we take pleasure in the Word and we desire it because it is valuable. There's a high value. This Word has a high value to it. Matter of fact, God Himself says that He's exalted His Word even above His name. There's a high value. And so as we delight ourselves in the Lord and we delight ourselves in His Word, we recognize the value. We desire His Word because of its value. It also means a matter, as something in mind. So a matter. What's on your mind? What's the matter that's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Meaning what? Meaning acceptable. What's acceptable to you? It's delight or delightsome. Delight or delightsome. So that's why it's translated, we delight and meditate in His Word. Delight or delightsome. It also, again, means desire. Desire, it means things desired. So desire or things desired. And then it means pleasant or pleasure. Pleasant or pleasure. A pleasant thought. Or what's the thought of pleasure? What's pleasing? And it also means purpose and willingly. Purpose. What's on your mind? What's your purpose? What are you thinking about? What's your purpose? And willingly. What's you're willing willingness, a matter, as something in mind. It's a willing thought, a willing idea, a purpose. So, with this in mind then, we delight and meditate in His Word. We take pleasure and desire and meditate His Word. We are thinking, it's a matter, there's something in mind. His Word is always on our mind. His Word, it's acceptable to us, right? His Word is delightsome to us. His Word is pleasant. We're pleased with what He said. His Word gives us purpose. We're willing. There's a willingness in our mind to accept and take God as what He said. Right? We're willing. I don't want to do that, but yes, Lord, I'm willing, right? Jesus said, not my will be done, but yours. He was willing. When His flesh did not want to, He stood up and said, I'm willing. Right? His spirit man and His mind, they joined together and they became a majority over the flesh. See, we get in trouble when our mind joins our flesh. So when our mind is not renewed and it joins in with the flesh, then it always overrides our spirit. But if we get our mind renewed and get it to work together with our spirit, then our flesh is always the third man out or the third person out, and it doesn't get its way. And we are much better off for it because of that. Amen? So we're to delight and meditate in the Word. Now look at this, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. I enjoyed this study on this word desire because I learned some things here. Proverbs 8 verse 11 says this. Proverbs 8 verse 11. Proverbs 8:11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire." Say desire. See, this Hebrew word desire is this Hebrew word delight. All the things that one may desire or delight in cannot be compared with her. Who? Wisdom. Let's go back to chapter 3, Proverbs 3, because it said the same thing, but it's a little bit more informative here. Verses 13 to 18, Proverbs 3, 13 to 18. It says, "Happy is the man," or "happy is the person who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds," wisdom. Wisdom's proceeds are better than the profit of silver. And her gain, the gain of wisdom, is more profitable than gold. So now, no matter how much we desire and delight to have silver and gold, a bunch of money, wisdom is much more profitable than both silver and gold. Verse 15, "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire," all the things that we may delight in, "cannot compare with her." Can you see this? That's why we're to delight ourselves in the Lord. We're to delight ourselves in His Word, because there is nothing is as valuable as Him and His Word. All these other things are valuable, but not as valuable. Amen? Their profit is not even close. We delight ourselves in the Lord. We delight ourselves in His Word. Verse 16, "So all the things that we may desire or delight in cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor," time freedom and financial freedom. Verse 17, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace," or shalom, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, glory to God. Verse 18, "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Praise God. we delight ourselves in the Lord. We delight ourselves in His Word. Why? Because there is nothing else that compares. Glory to God. So all the things that we may desire, all the things that we delight in, cannot be compared to our God and His Word. Now, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I want to see, we're going to go through like a half a dozen verses here, because it's just said over and over and over and over. Let's go to start in verse 16. Psalm 119, verse 16. David says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will do what? I will delight. I take pleasure and I desire your words, your statute, and I will not forget your words. Glory to God. Verse 24. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Your testimonies, what you have said, are my delight. I delight in your testimonies, and they're my counselors. Hallelujah. I get wisdom and direction. Verse 35. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I delight in it. He's got delight on his mind. He's excited about the word. Verse 47, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. I delight myself in your commandments, which I love. He's not done yet. Verse 70, their heart is as far or as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. I delight in your law. I take pleasure and I desire and I'm willing and your law is my purpose. Hallelujah. Verse 77. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For or because your law is my delight. Your word is my delight. Verse 92. Unless your law had been given, or unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. He's giving credit to his deliverance because of his delight in the Word. He says, if I hadn't delighted in your Word, I would have perished in my affliction. But because I delighted in your Word, I'm delivered. I'm free. I'm rescued. Hallelujah. I've overcome. Overcome. Not gone under, but overcome. I've gone over. Amen? Just because I delighted in your word. Verse 143. Says, trouble and anguish have overtaken me. I've felt the pressure. Yet your commandments are my delight. Yet your commandments are my delight. So just because we overcome once doesn't mean the pressure stops. Doesn't mean that we're done. No, we continually overcome. All right? We get the victory in one area. Woo! We rejoice, and then all of a sudden, there's another area. We get to the peak of this mountain. Wow! Glory to God. And then we look up, and there's another one. We're always moving up. Amen? He said, yet your commandments are my delights. And then the last one here is 174. 170, verse 174. I long for your salvation, your deliverance, your prosperity, your rescuing me, your healing, your health, O Lord. And your law is my delight. And your law is my delight. Amen? Hallelujah. His law is our delight. Praise God. So, then if we go to Psalm 40, let's go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8. Oh, you know what? Yeah, good. God's word is His will, right? We delight ourselves in the Lord. We delight ourselves in His word. And we know that His word is His will. Right, this word is His will. So we delight ourselves in His word, in His will, which He's written for us. We don't have to just kind of figure out and just kind of theorize what God's will is. Well, it's just my opinion. No, he wrote it down for us so we can be assured of His will. And so we delight in His word. We delight in His word, which is His will. So verse 40, the chapter 40, verse 8, goes on to say, I delight to do Your will, O God, and Your law is within my heart. I delight to do Your will, O my God, and Your law is within my heart. I delight to do Your will. Now, this is a different word, delight, okay? So we've had the first delight, delight yourself in the Lord, to be soft and pliable, to delight oneself or to be glad in the thing. And then we saw the second one, we delight and meditate in His word, which is to take pleasure and to desire a valuable thing. I'm talking about purpose and willingly. And then this word here is actually the root word to that second one. So this one here is a root word, and it means to incline to or to bend. To incline to or bend. You know, it's like incline your ear or bend. Sometimes we bend closer. If someone's talking quietly, we bend closer because we want to get a little bit closer to hear. To incline or to bend. So we're leaning in to hear. We're leaning in to make sure we get everything. This word is the root word, to incline or to bend. It means to have or to take delight. To have delight or to take delight. It means also, again, to desire. It also means favor. So we delight in Your will. We favor Your will. Right? Whose will do we favor? We favor His will. Favor His will over our own will. His will over someone else's will. We favor. Favor. It also means to like. What do you like? Delight. We delight in Your will. We like Your will. We like it. We like it. It means to be well pleased. To be pleased or to be well pleased. To be well pleased and to have pleasure. Have pleasure. Glory to God. We delight in Your will. We take pleasure in Your will, O Lord. We like Your will. We favor Your will. We desire Your will. We incline and bend. Why? To find out Your will, because we desire Your will. Amen? Jesus prayed, Lord, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because He knew some things about heaven. He knew God's will, and so he's praying. This is my desire, that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we know that that's God's will, so now we can pray, and we can speak over ourselves and over our families and over our church. Lord, Your will be done on earth here in our lives as it is in heaven. Amen? Good things. Good things. Abundant things. Great things. Hallelujah. So again, I delight in Your will, O God. And if we go to Psalm 112, the profile of a prosperous person. Psalm 112, verse 1. Psalm 112, verse 1. Says, praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed are the people who fear the Lord, who see the Lord, who reverence the Lord. Those who blessed is the person who delights greatly in His commandments. He delights greatly in the Word of God. Right? We're delighting greatly in His Word. We're delighting greatly in His will. We're desiring. We delight. Delighted. What do you like? What do you enjoy? What turns you on? What just gets you all pumped up? Well, that's what the word delight. We delight. We delight ourselves in the Lord. We delight in His Word. We delight in His will. And the profile of a prosperous believer talks about the blessing is on the person who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. We delight in what He said. We delight in His Word. Praise God. When we delight in His Word, our desires will line up with His will. All right, we're going to kind of shift gears here. When we delight in His Word, our desires will line up with His will. See, because the interesting thing is the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Did you know not all the things that we desire is the will of God, the plan of God? Remember, Israel said, we want to be like everybody else and we want a king. And Samuel said, no, you don't need a king, you got God. And they said, yeah, but we want to be like everybody else. We want a king. And he said, no, you don't need a king. You got God. He's amazing. Yeah, but we want to be like everybody else. We want a king. And so God finally said, okay, you can have a king. He said, it can be good for you if they follow me. It can be bad for you. But, hey, this is what you wanted. This is what you desired. And so when they had kings that served God, things went well, and there was blessing and protection on them. When they had kings that weren't interested in serving God, the whole nation fell apart. And it came to the point where literally they ended up reaping the seed of rebellion that they sowed, and they were scattered. Scattered. They were no longer able to live in their own land. God gave them the land. They didn't serve Him, and so they were scattered. And they were taken into bondage, and so. But hey, that's what they desired. So again, not everything that we desire lines up with His Word or is according to His will. So that's why if we step back now and then we kind of make this adjustment. Not everything I desire. Right? Because Brother Hagin talks about there was this man and lady that came up to him and said, We want you to pray for us or something. Because I want to leave my wife so I can marry this lady, and she wants to leave her husband so she can marry me. We want you to agree with us. And it's like, there's something wrong here. It's not how it works. No. We can't use these principles and laws of God to just do our own thing, contrary to God's will and His way. That's not the way it works. So, no. Right? It's just funny things, just weird things. And so let's, you know, get ourselves lined up here. I'm thinking about a compass. I'm just get ourselves all lined up here. Where true north? Okay, where's true north? Not just where we, this, oh, it looks like that's north. Let's just go that way because it looks north. It feels north to me. No. Who cares how we feel? Right? The compass literally will tell it where true north is. Okay. And the word keeps us in line. All right. And so we see here, when we delight in his word, our desires will line up with his will. So let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want us to see this before we continue on a couple verses. John chapter 15. It's important that we understand this because we delight ourselves in the Lord and he will give us the desires of our heart. And people go, woohoo, I can desire whatever I want to desire and God will give it to me. Well, no, we're going to get into this. When we delight in his word, our desires will line up with his will. Verse 7, 15, chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. So Jesus speaking, because it's read, he said that you can have whatever you desire if there's this big if. The first part of the verse is the if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So this is the grounding part or this is the part that positions us for takeoff. Right? You know, the rocket goes on a launching pad, and that launching pad helps it take off. I'm trying to think, if it was just out on the sand or out on the beach or just out on the middle of the road, that force would just destroy everything that's around it, and who knows, the rocket just may fall over. But this grounds us, this positions us for success. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then we can ask whatever we desire. Then we can ask whatever we will, and it will be done for us. We'll receive it. See that? Because we are delighting ourselves in the Lord. We are delighting ourselves in his word. I want us to experience the desires of our heart. Amen? And so we see here that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord, delighting in his word. When we abide in him, see, part of abiding in him, the delighting is part of abiding in him. It's this rejoicing, it's this praising, it's this drawing near to him, it's this glorifying him, it's taking pleasure in him and his word, being soft and pliable. There's this relationship. We're constantly aware of him. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's with us. Wherever we are, wherever we go, he's with us. And so we're able to talk with him. We're able to communicate with him. We're able to visit with him. He's able to talk to us, to lead us and to guide us. So if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we will ask what we will, we will ask what we desire, and it will be done for us. Mark 11, 24. Says a very similar thing. Mark 11, verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. right? Whatever you desire. Whatever. Whatever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But it's because we're asking according to His will. We're asking in line with His word. Whatever you desire. I remember someone came up to Brother Hagin and said, well, I desire 1,000,000 oil wells. And he says, no, you're not going to get that because, number one, you don't even believe that. Yeah. Right? No, it's have you talked to the Lord about it? You know? Does He want you to have 1,000,000? Oh, I don't know. I didn't think about it. Well, talk to the Lord about it. Maybe He wants you to have one. Maybe He doesn't want you to have any. Talk to the Lord about it. See, now here's where we're getting into this next part. Delight yourself in the Lord, and something begins to happen. Before we get to there, I want to go to Isaiah 58:14. Says this, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay, I'm going to go through a number of different translations here. So again, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. The CEV says it this way, then you will truly enjoy knowing the Lord. And He will let you rule from the highest mountains and bless you with the land of your ancestor Jacob, the Lord has spoken. He will let us rule from the highest mountain and bless us with the land. Glory to God. The Living Bible says that then the Lord will be your delight, and I will see to it that you ride high and get your full share of the blessings I promised to Jacob, your father. The Lord has spoken. The NET translation says, then you will find joy in your relationship to the Lord, and I will give you great prosperity and cause crops to grow on the land I gave to your ancestor Jacob, that know for certain that the Lord has spoken. The NIRV says, then you will find your joy in me. I will give you control over the most important places in the land, and you will enjoy all the good things in the land I gave your father Jacob. The Lord has spoken. So you see, this delighting in Him has rewards. This delighting in Him has rewards. The NIV says, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The New Living Translation says, then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. As we do that, as we delight ourselves in Him, He causes our influence and our prosperity and our life and our blessing to increase as we delight ourselves in Him. So again, Psalm 37, verse 4, says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says He will give us the desires of our heart. Interesting, because it doesn't say that He will give us whatever we desire. It says He will give us the desires of our heart. Some might say, well, that's the same thing. Well, no, listen again. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say, I'll give you whatever you desire. And we can say it this way, based on the scripture verses that we read in John and so on, that it doesn't say that he'll give us whatever we desire apart from his word and his will. But it does say that he will give us the desires of our heart. And this is what I believe this verse is talking about. As we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord, he begins to drop his desires in our heart. He begins to deposit his desires. He's doing what? He's giving us his desires. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires in our heart. He gives us his desires. He begins to deposit and drop his desires in our heart. His desires becoming our desires. I've told the story before, but I remember when I began to delight myself in the Lord. When I was a teenager, when I was 17, I began to delight myself in the Lord, worship him and pray in the Holy Ghost and feed and spend time in his word. And my mom wanted me to go to Bible school, and I wasn't interested in going to Bible school. I had no desire to go to Bible school. But the interesting thing is when I began to delight myself in the Lord, he began to drop this desire to go to Bible school in my heart. So what I desired here changed to here because I delighted myself in the Lord. In other words, my desire changed. I began to desire what he desired. And as I began to delight myself in the Lord, I desired to pray. I'd go into my room and I'd pray in the Holy Ghost. I'd just pray in other tongues for half an hour. I'd pray in other tongues for an hour. I would just go in my room, close the door, and I'd begin to pray in the Spirit. Why? Because I desired to. Why? Because he began dropping his desires in my heart. His desires became my desire. I began to study the Word, not just read it as a devotional. You know, not just one verse. But I began to read, and I began to study, and I began to take notes. How does this apply to me? Man, are you telling me? Yeah, oh, that's amazing. And I began to study the Word of God. Why? Because I began to delight myself in the Lord, and he began dropping those desires in my heart. Hallelujah. I didn't want to move to Red Deer. But as I began, I was delighting myself in the Lord. And he was pointing, that's where you're supposed to go. Well, I don't want to go there, but that's where I was supposed to go. And I'm delighting myself in the Lord. And it was like, okay, I'm what? I'm willing. Remember that? The word willing is one of those words for delight. I'm willing. I was willing to do his will. I'm willing. And I moved there. And I met Audrey. But I wasn't really interested in Audrey. But as I'm delighting myself in the Lord, then my desire began to change. And then I desired Audrey. Why? Because I delighted myself in the Lord. So we can make mistakes if we just want, by just going after whatever we desire. If we learn to delight ourselves in the Lord, he will cause our desires to line up with his desires. He will give us the desires of our heart. He will drop his desires into our heart. And then it's with confidence that we can go after them. Because he gave them to us. Amen. This is his will. This is his plan. And I can go on and on and on, but let's go to this. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We just got a few more moments here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Because this was very interesting when I saw this Hebrew word. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. It's just a few pages. after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says this: to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but the second word, delight, is also translated purpose. This is the word purpose here is the exact same word. It's used in Psalm 1, verse 2, that we delight and meditate in His Word. In other words, listen to this. To everything there is a season, a time for every delight under heaven. A time for every delight, a time for every desire. Interesting. I didn't desire red deer until I'm delighting myself in the Lord, and the Lord started dropping this desire. Like, why didn't he drop it in there 4 years earlier? Why didn't he drop it in there 20 years earlier? Because there's a season and there's a time. It's interesting. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will drop things in time. He will cause our desires to line up in time. Why is it that I began to delight myself in the Lord, and I had before graduation in high school, I had this desire to go to Bible school? Why? Because that was the next step. That was the next step. Amen? He prepares us for the next step. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, there is a season and there is a time for every delight, for every desire, for every purpose. And then I began to think, okay, so let's just kind of go through the Word of God. Let's think about some of these things. I'm thinking about Mary. The angel came to Mary and shared the Word of God. And she went, have a baby? What do you mean, how? He said, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, oh, okay. Can you see that? She delighted herself in the Lord. The angel came. I mean, God didn't just pull a name out of a hat and go, it's Mary. Oh, I hope she's going to do. No. He knew Mary. He came to Mary because she had qualities that were very important. And she said, okay. So that's in Luke 1. What about Elisha? I'm thinking about Elisha. Elijah comes by, throws his mantle on him, and keeps walking. And Elisha goes, yeah, this desire, now. Why didn't it happen a year, 2 years later, earlier? No. There was a season. There was a time. The timing was now. And so then he joined Elijah. And he walked with Elijah and functioned with Elijah and went with Elijah. And then one day Elijah said, after decades or years and years, Elijah said, just go ahead and stay here. He said, no way, Jose, I'm going with you. He said it three times in one day. And the sons of the prophet said, don't you know that the Lord's going to take him away? He said, yeah, I know. Now be quiet. And he saw the chariots of fire and the horses of fire and the whirlwind. And out Elijah went and the mantle fell on him. Timing, a season. I'm thinking about David, right? He delighted himself in the Lord. He became king. David, he wanted to build God a house. And the prophet said, do whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. So as we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord, He continues to deposit His desires in our heart. Amen. As we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord, He continues to deposit His desires in our heart. Glory to God. And we can go on and look at a whole bunch of others, but that's what I want us to see. As we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord, He continues to deposit His desires in our heart. All right, what about Nehemiah? Nehemiah, you know Nehemiah? He's serving the king, and all of a sudden, what starts going on the inside of him? He's thinking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem's in ruins. It's all right, babe. Yeah, we're good. He's thinking about Jerusalem. It's in ruins. We need to build the city. We need to rebuild. Why? The desire. He's delighting himself in the Lord, and the Lord's dropping this desire. It's time to rebuild. It's time to rebuild. And all of a sudden, the king looks at him, and all of a sudden, he's got this financing and this help and people gathered around, and all of a sudden, there's this whole crew going to rebuild the city. Hannah's wanted a baby. She's wanted a baby. She's wanted a baby. But why was it this year that she made this prayer, a prophetic prayer, talking to the Lord? And Eli the priest, thinking she's drunk. And then she said, no, it's just the anguish of my heart. And he said, well, whatever you've asked for, you'll have it. And she had her Samuel. Why? Why at that time? And Samuel is a child and working with Eli and had a dream. God showed up and said, Samuel, Samuel. He ran to Eli. He said, yes, what do you want? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Went back to bed. Samuel, Samuel. He ran to Eli. Yes, sir, here I am. He goes, the next time you hear it, say yes, Lord. I'm listening. So go back to bed. Samuel, Samuel, he said, yes, Lord, I'm listening. And the Lord began to talk to him. And Eli the next morning said, don't hold back. You tell me exactly what the Lord said. And part of it was that God had, because of the rebellion and the wickedness of Eli's sons, that they had been severed from the priesthood. And they all died. But Samuel had been raised. Why? A season and a time. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose or delight or desire. As we delight ourselves in the Lord. Jesus. I'm thinking about Jesus. The one that just is funny to me. John 4:4. Jesus, he must needs be go through Samaria. He must needs be go through Samaria. So we went through Samaria, and they had a revival, a move of God. Just because I have to go through Samaria today. I don't know why, but I mean, there's just this desire. We need to go there. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. So guys, go get some food. And excuse me, lady, can you get me some water while you're getting some water? Sparks this whole conversation, which led hundreds of people to meet him as the Messiah. Wow. What about Saul? Saul of Tarsus. This high-ranking Pharisee. Loved God, loved his word. He was a stickler for the word. And there was this other thing popping up and all these people and talking about Jesus. So he wants to please God and he wants to keep the word it's supposed to be. And so he starts attacking this thing called the way and attacking all these people that are serving this Jesus and throwing them in jail. And he got letters to go to Damascus, and he's on his way to Damascus to serve God and to advance and make sure God's will is performed. And Jesus shows up in all his glory and all his splendor and his brightness, and Saul falls to the ground. And the brightness stuck in his eyes. He couldn't get the brightness out. He couldn't see anything. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you? Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Oh. And that word, he's delighting himself in the Lord, and that word literally changed his desire. God's desire dropped in there. And then the Bible says a couple times when he's sharing his testimony, he said, I have not disobeyed the heavenly vision. I've not disobeyed. God talked to me and he sent me to the nations. The Jews didn't go to the nations, the Gentiles, the nations, but he said this heavenly vision. Jesus showed up and said, go. What happened? He's delighting himself in the Lord, and the Lord dropped the nations, this desire for the nations into his heart. Changed his name to Paul. Hallelujah. Peter, James, and John, Matthew, they're all busy, they're all working. Peter, James, and John are fishing. Matthew's in the tax office, sitting at his desk, and Jesus comes by and says, follow me. These are men that have been delighting themselves in the Lord. All of a sudden, they hear the word, poof, this desire drops into their heart. So strong that Peter followed Jesus, talking to his partners, James and John, because Jesus said, follow me. They left their father. They waved, see you later, Dad. Off we go. Well, we're following him. The desire. As we continue to desire or delight ourselves in the Lord, he continues to deposit his desires in our heart. So this is what I'm trying to get across to us today. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll begin to drop his desires. So if we want the desires of our heart, we delight ourselves in him. We delight ourselves in his word. We delight ourselves in his will. And he begins to adjust and deposit his desires in our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We spend time in his word and desires. We find out that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. We start doing what? He drops the desire for healing and health in us. We read verses about prosperity and being rich and wealthy and everything. And because of his grace, we've been made rich. All of a sudden, rich is not a bad word. Rich is a God word. He begins dropping his desire for financial increase and wealth in our lives. We read about give and it shall be given, and it's our desire to give. And so we want more so we can give more. We want more so we find out that when we have more, we have more influence. We want more influence because the more influence we have, the more people we can influence for Jesus. We read about wisdom, ask for wisdom. God's not withholding the wisdom. Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. So then we start desiring wisdom. I don't know what to do, but he's got wisdom. And so we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he begins dropping his desires. One last story. I remember when I was in Sarnia and I was pastoring my church, and a friend pastoring his church across town, and he talked to me about merging our churches together. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. So I fasted for a few days and was praying. And I remember as I was walking out of my living room into my kitchen, there's a doorway, and I was walking through the door and I lifted up my hands and I began to praise God. And all of it, at that moment, the peace of God that just dropped on the inside of me. Yes, this is the right thing to do. Merging our churches together. Because I had a large church, a large building, and 20 acres of property, and the parsonage on the property, and it was all paid for. And they were in an industrial area, and a couple little units, and they had more people, and so there was just, and we both graduated from Rhema, so it was a God thing. He put us together. But what did I do? As I began to delight myself in the Lord, and this moment of delighting. You know, I've been delighting myself in the Lord, but it was this moment of delighting that, boom, it just fell in. What? At this season and this time. Season and time. There's a season and a time for every purpose, for every delight, for every desire. So, I want to encourage us. Let's delight ourselves in the Lord, because He wants to give us the desires of our heart. Amen? Glory to God. Let's all stand up.